Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads, and I'm your host, T.S. Wright. And I'm so glad you could join us today. So, today we've got a great show lined up for you, and we're going to dive into a topic that is all about the United States. This is celebrate the 250th anniversary of the United States, the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And what people don't understand is that actually happened over a period of about 9 to 10 days, for all of that to occur. July 1st, the Continental Congress reconvenes. They have the debates. On the 2nd, they go in and they pass it. And then, of course, there's the signing and all these pieces and then getting it out and announcing it. And by the time it got to George Washington's soldiers, and then they went and basically destroyed the image of King George the Third, it was about July 10th. So it took about 10 days for all of this to occur. But July 4th is our date. And we have back on the show for part two, Andrew Lynn. And we are going to actually talk about, because his film, Church and State, that you've already heard advertised on part one, we're obviously advertising in here again, is now centering around this topic of today. Are we still a Christian nation? Are we a Christian nation, and are we still a Christian nation? So without further ado, Andrew, welcome back to the show.
Thank you again for having me, T.S. I really appreciate it.
You bet. And I'm looking forward to this topic. So you know what? Dive right in. Are we still a Christian nation?
Percentage-wise of people who claim to be, yes. Are we, you know, about 60 so percent say they are. Of those that are real Christians, you know, that's a smaller number, right? Everybody thinks they're a Christian, right? So yes and no. We're trending the wrong direction. But I think we're having a bounce back. You know, I think it was going down for years and years, but I think we're having a bit of a bounce back with the left coming out as just so appalling. You know, the devil, he's most effective when he's wearing a mask, when he's got a smile on, when he's acting as an angel of light. And now that the left has really just taken that mask off and revealed themselves for what they really believe and what they really are, just purely for evil things continuously, I think a lot of people are rejecting that or seeing that and seeing what they're for, and that they deep down just hate America, it seems. Well, they do, in my opinion. So people are looking at that and like, no, this is crazy stuff. You know, maybe I should go to church. Maybe I should check this thing out, see what Jesus is all about, because this is getting a little weird now. Things were kind of, you know, for many years, things were kind of gray, but now things are becoming very black.
Yes, they are. And I think one of the things that we're seeing, and I'm just saying this, is that we are seeing we're seeing an uptick in the persecution of Christians in this country, and it is now socially in some regions and in some areas and within some groups socially acceptable. And we're seeing that expand. Now, I agree with you. There's been a hesitation in the clock here as it was ticking and felt like the trend was flowing in a way of completely going against Christians. But it's went so far that I think some people are just hesitant, like, whoa, that's way over the top. You know, this isn't just a social issue. Now what you're doing is you're actually wanting to hurt, imprison, and potentially kill people because of their faith. Because right. They don't believe what you believe.
Right.
And it's gotten to that point in the United States.
Yeah. You know, obviously Charlie Kirk's a great example of that. And another thing is, you know, they talk about the separation of church and state on the left as if, you know, just anything Christian, like having the Bible, you know, this just happened in Texas where they're going to have Bible, you know, taught in schools. I don't know the full details, but that's basically what it is. And, you know, well, I learned the Iliad, Homer's Iliad, when I was in public school, you know, the Greek Odyssey. And that's a religious mythology text. And why not learn about the best-selling book of the largest religion in the history of the world? You know, it doesn't mean that you're going to force convert kids to simply have knowledge about it. And by the way, again, back to the separation of church and state, you know, everybody focuses on Christianity. You know, we shouldn't have Christian teachings in the school, no Ten Commandments and so forth. well, what about the LGBTQ messaging that they put in public schools and indoctrinate kids with? I'm sorry, but it's not the truth that a boy can become a girl and a girl can become a boy. That's religion. That is not based in truth. That is, you know, that's evil. That's not right. And like I said, it's not scientific. There's nothing to it other than religion and belief and a culture that is, you know, and this is what people are seeing and turning against. And I'm glad for it. But, you know, have things gone too far? Is it too late for America? Is something I wonder sometimes.
Yes. And let's just face it. This whole thing, obviously LGBTQ being one of the groups, this whole thing has been, what they're trying to do is they're trying to set up society so they can formulate the rules. What they don't realize, and I'm going to say this, is that the very people who they are going against are the very people who are protecting their freedoms to be able to express themselves in the way that they want to. I don't agree with them. All right, but they are still allowed to do that. If they want to change the Constitution or they want to get rid of it, I will tell you the type of groups that will eventually take over will put a stop to what they're doing. And they too won't just be persecuted, but they will probably, there are groups out there that would want them eliminated just like they do Christians.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen that in, you know, communist leftist revolutions around the world. They're called useful idiots. They're useful for the revolution. And then once the communists gain control, then they kill all these people, you know, or who, you know, and you can go down the line of different factions and how they do these things. But yeah. And, you know, here's the deal. If this is the way I feel about it, and I don't want to give a hopeless message for July 4th, you know, I'm praying for the country. You know, like I said, there's some good things happening now, some good things moving in the right direction. But yeah, you know, if a local principality, let's say where you're a liberal and you live in a hyper liberal area, to your point about, you know, you're allowed in this country to have your freedoms. If you want to vote in that stuff and, you know, vote it in for your public schools to do it, and the majority of your little town or municipality agree to it, I'm not necessarily against that. So, but I'm also not against if, you know, a state or municipality wants to vote in 10 commandments in the schools or Bibles in the schools. You know, if the majority of the people in a certain town want that, let it be. But what the left likes to do is use the state to attack people who disagree with them or don't agree with them, and kind of force their own version of religious uniformity that, you know, we're not trying to do as Christians. We're not trying to make everybody one denomination or make everybody Christian. We're just, you know, offering, we want to offer the information simply. We're not trying to force convert anybody.
Amen. And the truth is the only thing standing between them and what they want is basically right now a president, but more importantly, the Supreme Court and this little thing called the Constitution and that First Amendment, the freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, all of those things are standing in their way. That is the only thing standing in their way, because there are a lot of people that have bought into, hey, they're not necessarily buying into the ideology, but they are started accepting it. And there are some people out there that have, or more people, there's a bigger group of people now that are definitely against Christianity.
Right. Yeah, no.
Trying to find every way to argue against it.
Yeah, never like I think in our nation's history has it been so volatile, the hatred for Christianity. And I find it fascinating that as soon as a culture of a state or a country like in Europe goes atheist, that it's amazing how fast that vacuum is created, and then Islam comes and fills that gap. And we're seeing that in New York. We're seeing that, you know, and it's just so funny to me that the left cozies up to Islam. They attack Christianity, both Islam and atheism. But I suppose the reason is, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So, but the same thing, you know, you're going to join up with the Islam to attack Christianity, try to get rid of it, and then you're not going to like it when Islam takes over, you know. So, but yeah, you know, we need to return as a country to faith. And that means guys like you and me, believers in Christ, we need to do our best out here to share our faith and share the truth of the gospel and, you know, do whatever we can because, you know, yeah, we got a country that's on the brink.
Yes, and it is definitely on the brink. There's no question that our country is in a very different place than it was even just 15 years ago. I mean, you just back it up 20 years ago, the country was a lot different. And 20 years before that, it was a lot different as well. So what we've seen is a slow degrading and of morality. And then it has led to this. And now we're at that point where, you know, we're not quite Sodom and Gomorrah, but we're getting there fast. And, you know, at some point, I also wonder, you know, when is God going to act? You know, Billy Graham once said, and I'm quoting Billy Graham here, he said that if God doesn't punish the United States, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, there is some truth to that. And unfortunately, the country has not, morality-wise, we have not went the right way. We've continued down this path of total degradation, just degrading morality and society. And it has led to where we are now. And now we're at this kind of tipping point, you know, kind of this Y in the road. And we probably hit some of those Ys in the road, but I think this may be the last one.
Yeah, I agree. I think now's the time. I think we got to turn the ship right. And yeah, I know that Billy Graham quote. And, you know, fortunately, God is patient and long suffering. And he's given us, you know, a lot of time, but I do believe he is acting. I do believe that justice is finally, you know, occurring on a federal level, on, you know, in different areas where the left is finally getting a beat back, you know, in terms of their winning the culture and, you know, all their stuff. Like I said, they used to wear a mask where it was like they were friendly about it and convincing you to their side. Now they're just like filled with hate and anger because they're losing the battle. They're finally losing the battle. By the grace of God, I'm very thankful for it. I think young people are waking up. I saw that, I don't know if you've seen this, but the alcohol industry is losing billions because Gen Z isn't drinking. Now, I don't think that's a reflection of them necessarily being religious, though they are returning to church, that generation, from what I hear. But, you know, I that's great. That's a good thing. You know, but we do still have a lot of issues. But like I said, you know, I think people are waking up and we're sick of them shoving this stuff down our throat through television, through all our beloved cultural, I don't know what you call it, cultural channels. You know, like Disney used to be just wasn't religious, but it was pure and you could just watch stuff and not have messaging in it. And now you watch Disney. If you have Disney Plus, they got, you know, they got all kinds of leftist messaging in there. But yeah, I'm glad that we got Trump in office and that he's pushing back on all this.
So yeah, one of the things that I think is happening that is the Supreme Court has really stepped up in the last few years.
That too.
Yes. That has been very helpful. That's probably been the biggest piece of all this because without them, there's only so much the politicians can do.
Right.
Because it's, you know, there's this that balance of power and the Supreme Court has certain powers that nobody else has. And they have the ability to make certain judgment about things that can shift the ideology of a culture. And we've seen that before in the past go the wrong way. I will say that I've seen some of that balancing act back towards the right way here the last few years. I will say this, that I think where we're at in about 3 or 4 years will tell a lot. I think that's going to tell a lot. I think once Trump is done in office, and then we see how the nation votes in the 2028 election, we'll see a little bit here in the 2026, but I think 2028 is going to be massive.
Right.
And then look at 2032. Those two presidential elections and what happens in those two probably is the point of either we've shifted towards back towards God and a more of a repentant nation, or we've completely started to go off the deep end and there's probably no turning the ship back. And so that 4 or 5 year period, and we're getting close to it, is really going to be the point at which we start to realize where this is actually going to go. And I think right now we're at that fork in the road at this point to make that decision. We're sitting at the fork as we speak.
I 100% agree. That next election is going to, if the Democrats get in power again, they're going to do what Abigail Spanberger, whatever her name is, in Virginia did. They're just going to undo everything Trump did and just go hog wild and just try to reverse course. And I mean, I don't know if you saw Kamala Harris is already saying we need to pack the Supreme Court. We need to get rid of the Electoral College. You know, the most brilliant, way to elect a president in the world, the history of the world. I didn't understand it initially, but as I grew up, I understood it. It's like, oh, instead of having 3 or 4 cities decide every single election, this allows states of all different sizes, all 50 states, to have a larger say in the election. But, there's so many, idiots out there. And it's just, it's not going to be good if they get in. I mean, and they're telling us what they're going to do. Like I said, Kamala Harris, she's going to run again. And I don't think she'll win. But, if they have a strong candidate, I don't know who, maybe Gavin Newsom, but he's not. Anyway, but the other thing is the cheating. Like, what's going on with these elections? I mean, we don't even know. The fact that, Joe Biden got more votes than any president in history is laughable. That's laughable. And so we, if we can trust.
Yeah, especially by the margin that he got them, 81 million.
Yeah.
And that's not even that wasn't even approached in 2024. There was something wrong there. And I think a lot of people know that.
Yeah. So, and I guess the Supreme Court kind of sided, didn't on that one. I didn't agree with their decision where they just ruled that you can vote up to 5 days after or count votes up to 5 days after an election with mail-in ballots, as long as the postmark or whatever is the dates on there. But I don't know. It's just, but yeah, we have had, I believe God, he gave it, we've been drifting away from God since like the 60s revolution. The prayer came out of the school and so forth. And it's like once 9/11 happened, that was like God saying, all right, this, judgment, repent, and it's like things where I think people listened for a little bit and then just went back into the world.
And Katrina happened.
Yeah. Katrina.
And then the mortgage crisis.
Yeah. Yeah. The financial collapse. Yep. 2007, 2008. Yep. And so, I mean, we're broke. This country's broke. People think money lasts forever, but this is a concerted effort from the devil and his minions. And it's, our enemies knew they couldn't destroy us like with a war or from without. So they are destroying us from within, gut rot, with immorality, teaching, hatred of Christianity in the public schools and in the universities and deforming our culture into something it wasn't for the majority of our history. So.
Exactly. And I'm going to say this, you touched on it. What this truly is a spiritual war. Mm-hmm. Folks, this is spiritual warfare that is going on. It doesn't just happen at the individual level. It happens in organization, at the organizational level. It happens at the city level. It happens at the regional level and the state level. It happens at the national level and the global level. All right. Satan is not just going to give in. The thing is, in the end, we know that he loses and he knows that he loses and his time is short. And so he does everything he can within his power to destroy the work of God. And I remember a preacher once saying, when God goes a blessing, the devil goes a messing. And so, I mean, and that is just so true. So, yeah, here, I want to throw that ball back into your court.
Yeah, I always... I have kids, 4 kids, and before I had kids, I always thought about that. Like the devil, he knows the Bible. He knows what the Bible says is going to happen to him. And I thought to myself, so why is he continuing in this manner? But, I see it with kids. You tell them stop, do something, or if they get in trouble, they can get angry and fight back. Even though they know that, you know, as adults, not that we would, but we could destroy these little guys, you know, yeah. They're just, you know, compared to us, and we can make them suffer in the temporary, but you know, they're just filled with rage, and that's the devil. He's filled with pride and rage, and he believes he deserves the throne, and he hates God's people, and he hates, you know, Christian nations and nations that have sent out more missionaries than any country in the history of the world, the United States. And that's why he has had, you know, had his eyes on us, you know, best friends of Israel since the beginning and all these things. And he particularly hates Israel as well. You know, as Revelation says, you know, he's going to come after the woman who gave birth to the child, and that's Israel. That's right. So he's got his eye. He's doing a number, man. I tell you, these days, but it's because his days are numbered, and he knows it. That's what I think. I think he knows he doesn't have much time. And so he's just going hog wild, you know, going, you know, crazy right now.
For the listeners sitting here listening, what is it that we need to do as Christians to stand against this?
Yes, live as seriously for the Lord as you can in these last days. And one thing I don't, you know, we live very comfortable in this country, you know, so it's easy to make comfort an idol. You know, we have to get a little more uncomfortable as Christians in this country, because if not, we'll get uncomfortable whether we like it or not. You know, we could have circumstances get horribly worse in this country like we've never seen if we don't stand in the gap right now. And fasting and repentance. A lot of people, you know, Jesus said that fasting and praying, forgive me, but repenting too. But yeah, we need to fast sometimes and pray. You know, it's hard. It gets harder as you get older. It's harder for me as I get older. But, you know, we got to fast and pray, because, you know, that helps get prayers answered. So,
amen. Yes, fasting and prayer. And Jesus didn't say if you fast. He says when you fast.
Right.
Right. Remember that. He said when you fast. So, yes, fasting, prayer. We need to be actively seeking to help others learn who Christ is, whether it's a Christian who's just come to Christ, whether we're discipling them, whether it's leading others to Christ that hasn't heard the word of God. Guys, that never changes. Evangelism and discipleship, they walk hand in hand with a nation. And as we spread the word of God, as we are we will become a nation that turns back to God. We need to be a nation that turns back to God. When are we going to do that? All right. When are we going to do that? You know, if we go and ask people things like, is it okay if to get my way, if I can just lie to do that? I can promise you that that is a higher percentage than it ever has been. All right. You know, sexual impurity, all of these things, you know, drinking, drugs, all that stuff. People are doing these things in record numbers right now. What that should tell you isn't that it's the sin, it's that they've got something inside of them that they are missing to fill that void, and they're using immorality to fill it. That's what it tells you. They need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. I'll let you have the last word here.
Yeah, and have accountability friends, people in the faith who can keep you accountable. You know, if you're feeling tempted, call a friend, call your pastor, go to your pastor to do something wrong, because I believe temptation is going to increase in these last days as well, to sin and to fail the name of Christ. Not that you lose your salvation, but you can bring shame to the name. So make sure you have friends that, you know, can encourage you in the faith, you know, keep you grounded. One other thing, you know, my uncle brought up that back in the 70s or 80s, he used to see this bumper sticker that said, you know, turn your TVs off. And you know, sometimes with social media or the TV, if it's just, you're just ingesting things that is either filth or upsetting you or getting you off balance, you know, where you think it's hopeless and you just see violence and all these horrible things, you know, that can be unsettling. And, you know, so just, you know, make sure what your eye sees and what you put in your eye, you know, is clean. But if it, you know, there are bad things and it's the truth, you know, you can't avoid the truth, but you know, we serve the truth, but you know, just do your best to live pure, be serious in the last days. And we're to, you know, even though we're fighting the devil, remember we're fighting him and his powers. We got to love people and hate the sin, hate the people.
And so That's right. And remember this, we have a God who's bigger than all this.
Amen. Right.
We pray to a God that's bigger than all this because he is all things. He is the creator. He's bigger than this. He can handle our issues, but we have to turn to him. We have to turn to him. Well, folks, thank you for joining us today. Andrew, it's been great having you on the show. Church and State is the film. And Andrew, where can they log in? Where do they go to get to be able to watch this?
Yeah, if you go to churchandstatedoc.com, churchandstatedoc.com, that's where you can watch the film. You can watch it for free on multiple platforms, including YouTube. Or if you want to watch it without ads, it's on Vimeo for $5 to rent and $10 to purchase. So.
Awesome. Awesome. And guys, join us on JesusSaid.tv. You know all about that. Go to our channel on JesusSaid.tv. You can check out my website, tswrightspeaks.com. Get Embracing the Truth, our book, and then join us on the God-Centered Concept on Tubu.com. Also, you can listen and watch GoodView, the GoodViewNetwork.tv, and check us out as we're going to have some messaging on there as well. The God-Centered Concept Academy, join us. All right. Well, Andrew, thank you for joining us today. And you guys know how we finish. And now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation and let the great harvest begin.